We are in a season of Lent. This is the third Sunday in Lent, a sacred season of 40 days, excluding Sundays. And in this time, we remember God's story because it's our story. It's a story that he is still writing us into. Our hearts long to deeply experience the grace of the, and presence along the way. This morning, as we continue in the series called The Story of God, The Story of Us, inspired by the Jesus Storybook Bible. Few stories have captured the imagination quite like that of David and Goliath. The phrase David versus Goliath has transcended scripture and entered everyday language. It evokes this powerful image of the underdog overcoming the impossible. But the biblical account in 1 Samuel 17 is more than the tell of a young boy defeating a giant. It's a story about human weakness and about God's power. It's about the moment when faith steps forward and our fear steps back. David was the youngest of Jesse's 8 sons. David's 3 oldest brothers had followed Saul into battle. They were these great warriors. They had got to go to the front line. And David was sent to take care of the stinky, smelly sheep on the lonely hillside. His brothers were in all the action, but David was relegated to obscurity, with the sheep out in the middle of nowhere. But it was in those lonely nights is when David began to develop a deep-rooted faith in those moments, a faith that would only grow from the places in which he had to rely on God's presence. David was there, and it was dark, and it was lonely. And this faith began to grow in the secret place. David began to understand, and that is why in Psalm 91, he says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." In the secret place, David learned that he could count on God. His deep-rooted faith began to form. It was on those lonely nights when there was no one else to listen to him but God. And maybe you can relate. When it seems as no one else cares, he learned that God cared. When no one else seemed to know where he was, maybe you feel like not one person knows exactly where I am right now. That's when he discovered that God knew. God knew where he was. God knew what he was doing, and God had a plan for his life. It was in the secret place that David learned, when he felt like no one cared, that God cared deeply. It was in the secret place where David first saw God's power in his life firsthand, and he learned that he could depend upon God. His deep-rooted faith was beginning to form. David's father, Jesse, came to him, and he sent him to go and see how his brothers were doing in battle and to bring them some bread and some cheese. And while David was there, he hears Goliath offer up and challenge them once again. Now, the real champion of Israel, King Saul, should have been the first one to step forward. He was head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the camp. But Saul had already shrunk back from the front line because his faith was no longer filled with the faith of a mighty warrior, because he was no longer following the Lord his God with all his heart. Soon the inaction turned to confusion in the Israelites' line, and the chaos was happening in the midst of a full retreat that was underway. The scene repeated itself every day for 40 days, morning and night, Goliath would step forward and he would issue his challenge to the children of Israel, and they would retreat back in fear. Church, fear is real, but it often becomes an illusion that exaggerates the danger and minimizes God. I really like Dan Allender's description of fear. His perspective on fear is deeply rooted in the understanding that it arises from our inability to preserve what we most deeply cherish in the face of danger. Allender says, "Fear is our response to the uncertainty about our resources in the face of danger. When we are assaulted by a force that overwhelms us and compels us to face that we are helpless and out of control, fear is provoked when the threat of danger, physical or relational, exposes our inability to preserve what we most deeply cherish." When the Israelites saw Goliath and they heard his words, fear was at work within them because they believed that they were too weak, that they were too inadequate to succeed against this giant. The whole army of Israel was paralyzed in fear. They were so focused on what they saw and what they heard. But faith takes us further than our senses. Hebrews 11:1 explains that faith is confidence and what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. And the author of Hebrews goes on in verse 6 and declares, without faith, church, hear that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Israel was terrified of Goliath. They saw the battle as their fight and not God's. David shows up on the scene just as Goliath mocks Israel, and he speaks to the men who are standing with him, and he asks, "What will be done for this man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace for Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David not only hears Goliath mock Israel, he also overhears that King Saul has made a reward to encourage others to go forward. Whoever is courageous enough to fight Goliath, Saul offers great wealth, exemption from taxes, and he offers his daughter in marriage. And yet that's not appealing enough to bring or motivate any of the guys to go forward and to fight Goliath. Israel feared Goliath because they compared themselves to him instead of comparing him to God. Although David is intrigued, he is more motivated by wanting to please God and to honor God. He's angry that the name of God is being smeared by this Philistine, this pagan, this heathen giant. David sees the situation differently because he sees God is at the center of the battle. Where Israel says he's defying us, David says he's defying the armies of the living God. The difference in the perspectives changes everything. Look at how the text describes Goliath's armor in verses 5-7, just so we can see what David is up against. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale of armor of bronze. Now that's a jacket that has all these little rings on it, which you see in the gladiator movies that are worn underneath their clothes. It also says that that coat of scale of armor of bronze weighs 5,000 shekels, which is about 126 pounds of metal that this man is wearing on top of him. And not only that, He also has on his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod. Its iron point weighed 600 shekels. And not only that, as if that wasn't enough, he has a shield bearer who goes before him, who has more weapons that you have to fight before you ever get to Goliath. The enemy often uses intimidation and fear. Goliath is genuinely dangerous. Let's acknowledge that, right? He is genuinely dangerous. But Israel's fear grows to this illusion that exaggerates that threat and minimizes God. A giant in your life is anything that keeps the kingdom of God from going forward. And the problem isn't feeling fear. It's submitting to it. Fear becomes disoriented when we remove God from the equation. David has a keen sense to understanding the two realities that are happening here in these passages. How David sees it is that Goliath is challenging Israel. And by challenging Israel, David understands that he is actually challenging God. David understands that this whole battle has nothing to do with him. Church, do you get that? It has nothing to do with you and everything to do with God. David immediately said, I'll fight this guy who defies the living God. And he had to tell soldier after soldier after soldier before anybody took him seriously. And finally, they usher him to King Saul. And Saul tries to shut him down, right? He pushes back, though. He has this deep-rooted faith. He has reverence for God that helps him to see everything for what it is and not for what fear wants him to believe it is. Saul looks at David in verse 33 and he says, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man. He's been a warrior from his youth. But look at David's response here. He finds courage and he finds strength by looking back on God's past faithfulness as assurance for future faithfulness. Beginning in verse 34, he says, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and I struck it and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and the bear. David recalls the deliverance from past lions and bears as the training ground for defeating the giant. His confidence is rooted in God's faithfulness. Goliath's armor alone probably outweighs David, if we're honest. And yet David rejects the armor and he goes with what he knows, a sling and a powerful battle cry. We often overlook this aspect of the passage, even though I believe it's central to the entire story. David ran towards the giant. It says in verse 48, as Goliath moved closer to attack, David ran. David quickly ran out to meet him. David didn't just face the giants. He attacked Goliath. Most of the time, we avoid facing our giants. We attempt to pretend that they simply don't exist. Facing our giants, we feel like if we ignore our problems, they'll go away. For 40 days, the Israelites tried to ignore Goliath, and he didn't go away. He just came back every day bigger and stronger and more confident. When you and I try to ignore our problems, they don't simply go away, but rather they grow and they get bigger and bigger. And when we face our own Goliath, church, maybe you find yourself facing a giant right now. Maybe it's a giant of financial problems. Maybe it's a giant of an addiction that you just can't seem to break out of. Or maybe it's a giant of a broken relationship. Maybe it's a giant of depression and you can't seem to shake it. Maybe it's a giant of anxiety or the giant of fear or of loneliness. A giant of doubt. We all face our Goliaths, and we often run from them, but David did not. David didn't run from his giant. He didn't even just simply face his giant, but he attacked his giant. When David runs towards the battle line, he doesn't shout about his own ability. He doesn't brag about his aim. He cries out, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." David's victory was won in the secret places long before the valley. It was won when he fought the lion and the bear while no one was watching. It was won in the quiet moments of worship under the stars and the shepherds' fields of our daily lives. What giant has been coming after you for 40 days? Is it the giant of you're not good enough? Is it the giants of your past defines you? Is it the giant of the situation will never change? It's time to stop letting the voice of the giant speak to us. We need to quit listening to the voice of the giant, and we need to start listening to the voice of the shepherd. Our ability to face our Goliaths depends on our intimacy with God. It takes time. It takes time. And church, let today be the day that we take off the heavy armor of people-pleasing, of self-reliance, and pick up the stones that God has given his word, his spirit, his community, and run toward the battle line. David went running. He attacked his giant. Don't be afraid of the valley. You don't go to the valley to die. You go to the valley to see the glory of God manifested in your weakness. David's stone didn't just sink into Goliath's forehead. It shattered the illusion that the enemy is greater than our God. Thousands of years later, another son stood in a different valley, the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus didn't just face a physical giant. He faced the giant of sin and death and of the grave. And he didn't just use a stone, church. He used the cross. He took on the full blow of the enemy so that we could stand in his victory. Because he has already won the ultimate war. We can stand daily and face our battles with unshakable faith and hope. The challenge today is to step out of your tent. The Lord is with you, Almighty Warrior. The giant is big. Let's acknowledge that. But our God is sovereign. Let the world see through your courage and your faith that there is indeed a God who delivers, a God who redeems, a God who wins the battle every single time. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the reminder that there is no giant that can stand against the power of your name. And Lord, just as you strengthened David to face Goliath, would you strengthen us to face our own giants? Whether they're fear, doubts, sickness, or temptation, discouragement. Remind us the battle is not ours alone, but yours. And give us courage to step out in faith, wisdom to follow your leading. Lord, perseverance to stand firm until the victory is won. Lord, we come to the table. And Lord, as we come to your table today, we're reminded of the greatest victory of all. The triumph of Jesus Christ over sin and death. May this bread remind us of your body, willingly broken to make us whole. May this cup that speaks of your blood poured out to cleanse us and to seal a covenant of grace. Lord, as we eat and drink, may you fill us with your spirit. Renew our faith. Deepen our love. And strengthen our unity as your people. Lord, let this table be a place for healing for the weary. Let it be a place for hope for the discouraged and joy for the redeemed. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.